That name that's above every name. You remember what Simon Peter told him in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, that there's no salvation, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And here's why he was brought to say that. He said here, now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. The man couldn't walk, had to carry him over there, set him down. And I've been places where people couldn't walk or they was blind and they would carry him. I was in, years and years ago, in a place called San Cristobal up in the mountains in southern Mexico. And a great big cathedral up there. It had markets around it, and they'd bring them old women and old men. It was so shriveled up, blind, lame. And Carrie Mary set them around that cathedral, and they'd sit there, and people dropped their pennies in there for them. And they'd come and get them at the end of the day. They'd sit there blind and just shake the little cup, whatever they had, little bowl. And that's what this fellow's doing. They had to carry him there. And he asked alms. He asked for money. He asked for goodness. He asked for somebody to help him. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Now here's two men, two of God's men, two apostles. They're going up to pray. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He said, boy, these fellas. He said, I'll tell you what, they look like they may have a little something here. Fellas, can you got anything you can give me? I need you to give me something. You all look like you got a little something here. Can you give me anything? And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Set your eyes on us. Just look and set your eyes real good and close. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Well, he's going to get something, but it wasn't what he was expecting. Then said Peter, silver and gold have I none. I bet that old boy's heart just went, shoo. I need silver and gold's what I need. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but I tell you, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, he done forgot about the silver and gold. He'll not be a beggar anymore. And all beloved, and all the people saw him and walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which set it for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto them. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And why ye look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? We ain't got no strength, no power, no holiness. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, now listen to it, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, the very Prince that gives life, where life comes from. You killed him, whom God raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Now watch this. And in his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So here, beloved, is a man Peter had nothing to give him but a name of a person. He said, I ain't got nothing to give you, but what I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. I give it to you in the name of Jesus Christ and of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ, His name is above every name. Now, there's no other name like His name. And you know, the name is His identity. And that's what He says. And He used the Lord's name there twice. And He says, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up. And God hath glorified His Son Jesus by this very act and by this very deed. Now, people are known by their name. If I mention the name Adam to you, everybody immediately knows who Adam is. If I mention Noah to you, you recognize Noah and what happened to Noah. If I mention Jacob to you, or Esau, these are names, and you identify certain things with those names. Mention Abraham, and automatically you identify things with Abraham and things that happened to him throughout life and what happened to him. And I mention John the Baptist, mention his name, and you think that voice of thunder, and that man who says, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. And then what about Simon Peter? When I mention his name, what do you think? What do you identify with Simon Peter's name? The first thing you identify with him is everything you think about him is negative. It shouldn't be that way, because here he just used the Lord. But we automatically think of two things, the three things that he'd done with the Lord Jesus Christ that he shouldn't have done. But that's more Simon Peter in all of us than there is John, whom that disciple loved. Wouldn't you agree with that? But what in the world is this name of Christ? Well, let me tell you something. I'll tell you what's in his blessed name. Our Lord Jesus said this in John 5:43. He says, a man, I come in my Father's name, and you won't receive me. I come in the name of God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the creator and sustainer of this universe and this world. I'm the only begotten Son of God, and I came into this world in my Father's name. That name that you revere, that Jehovah, Yahweh, the name that you're afraid even to speak. He said, I come in His name, and you won't receive me, but you let somebody come in His own name. You let Rabbi Eliezer come in His name. You let Jimmy Swaggart come in His own name. You let Joel Osteen come in His own name. And folks will fill up the building because they're coming in their own name. But you say Christ is coming. And He's coming in the Father's name. Ha! Who in the world ever heard of Him? He's just a poor man from over in Nazareth, and his mama and his daddy are poor, and there ain't nothing to it. But I tell you what, he said, Simon Peter comes on down here in chapter 4 and verse 11, he says this. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If a man's going to be saved, he's going to be saved through the name and the power and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not right? This John said this, to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, which were born, not of the will of flesh, not of blood, not of the will of man, but of God. And when you know what Gabriel said when he told Joseph what to call his name? Thou shalt call His name Jesus, and He shall save His people from their sins. Oh, what a name. Precious, precious is the name. And oh, beloved, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I tell you, I've told you all this 100 times, maybe 500 times over the years, that if you had one thing to tell a generation, one thing, if you could speak to thousands of people, if some people get the opportunity, whether you're in the presence, I don't care who it is, mixed couples, mixed races, mixed religions, no, don't care if you're in the Vatican, wherever you are, stand up and say one name. And there's no other way that God will save you or accept you or have any dealings with you, or have any approach to you, except through His Son's name, Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ. God will not accept you by any other prophet. John the Baptist, he said, are you he? I'm not he. Are you that prophet? I'm not. Who are you? I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. There's coming one after me. Then I'll tell you, I'll baptize you with water, but He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost. He's the one that's got the life. He'll baptize you with fire. He'll put the fire of God in your soul. And oh, beloved, I tell you, tell this generation needs to know that salvation is not in the Baptist church. Salvation is not in walking an aisle. Salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Look over here in John chapter 20, verse 31. Look at this, what he says here in John chapter 20, in verse 30 and 31. God said He Himself saved us for His name's sake. He said He saved us for His great name's sake. Whose great name's sake? Christ's great name's sake. And oh, if you ever get a chance to talk to anybody at all, always tell them, God will not speak to nor be spoken to except through Jesus Christ. He says, my Lord Himself says, no man comes unto the Father but by me. You ain't gonna, don't even talk to God unless you come in my name. And God ain't gonna do nothing for you unless you come to me. That's what He said. And there is no other person on the face of this earth that's got that power, that's made those kind of claims. Nobody else ever made that claim. Nobody came before Him and says that if nobody can, they would say, come to me and I'll save you, follow me. But our Lord Jesus Christ said, I got a Father in heaven. He's holy, He's righteous, He's glory, He got all power in heaven and earth. And He sent me into this world. And He sent me into this world for one reason. That you might know Him, and the only way you can know Him is through me. And you can't come unto Him except by me. He won't even look at you, speak to you, or have any dealings with you, and accept your righteousness and exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. You don't stand a chance in His chains. And where are you going to get that at? From me. And oh, I tell you, I'll never get weary of telling that. I never get weary of telling that. And look here in John 20. Let's tell you, this is what the whole Scriptures is about. And many other signs, truly did, John 20 and verse 31, 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through what? His name. Oh, and these fellas told Simon Peter and them, they beat him and said, don't you go and tell nobody else about that fellow's name. They go out there the next morning, there there was, preaching Jesus Christ again. And let me tell you, not only salvation in His name, but God only answers prayer for Christ's sake. God only answers our prayers. God only blesses us and hears us for Christ's sake. Look in John chapter 14 with me just a moment. Let me show you what I'm talking about. People say, I know God answers my prayer. If you're not one of His children, now I know that we all start praying when we are under conviction. I understand that. I'm not saying that, but I'm talking about when God answers your prayers. When God meets your needs and God and have any deal, hear you at all, it'll be for Christ's sake. Look what He said here in John 13, excuse me, chapter 14, verse 13. And our Lord said, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name. Why is that name so important? Because that name's got all the power. That name's got all the authority. That name's got all the merit. That's the name that God gave Him. And this is the one that God says, you come in my name. That will I do. And now watch this. And the only reason He'll do it is that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will do it. And look down at verse 26. And oh, listen to this. This is so good. But the Comforter, which is of the is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He ain't coming except to, you know, why the Holy Ghost comes among us. Brad prayed to send your Spirit among us. You know why the Spirit comes among us? And comes and comforts us and teaches anything? For Christ's sake. To make Christ known among us. That's the only reason. That's why we pray, Lord, send the Holy Ghost. And He says the Holy Ghost for Christ's sake. And He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I said unto you. And look over in John 15 and verse 16 right quick with me just a moment. Look what our Lord said here about it. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Now what? Listen to it. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it unto you. It's His name. And this is, you know, this is not a, people use names for magic, incantations. You know, abracadabra and all that kind of stuff. And you know, they call on their gods and they'll use certain incantations and names and use a name as a magic. And get things done. But our Lord Jesus Christ, this is a name. This is a name that's got glory and power to it. And the Father said, when you call on me, come in my Son's name. Huh? If you want something from me, come in my Son's name. You want me to hear you when you talk to me? Come in my Son's name. If you want mercy, come in my Son's name. You want grace? Come in my Son's name. Don't come in your own name. Don't come because you said something or done something right. Don't come telling me about what you've done or what you intend to do or what you hope to do. You come in my Son's name. And you come with all of His merit. You come with all of His worth. You come with His work. You come with His preciousness. And guess, and He said, and I will receive you. And I will hear what you've got to say. And I'll give you, if you want, if it's my will, you'll have it. And I tell you, not only is it salvation and prayer, but hope is in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hope's in His name. There's that, I just read it to you about that. Man, they carried him there and set him down. Everybody walked by. Hey, help me. Saw them two fellas walking in there. Oh, you fellas, boy, look at you. Man, you are big, healthy men. You've got to have something. Hey, you, I don't know your name, but can you help me? You two fellas look good. Simon Peter stopped. Here this fellow, because they stopped, they said, man, he's going to reach in his pocket. He's going to bring out a lot of money. Simon Peter said, look on us. Set your eyes on us. And he looked at him. And he said, silver and gold, I ain't got none. That fellow's hope just went, brr. But he said, I tell you what, God, such as I have, I ain't got nothing in this world, but I've got someone who I do know. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hope. There's such blessed hope in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bartimaeus heard His name, told him to be quiet, and he just got the louder. And the Lord Jesus stopped. When He said, have mercy on me. You talking about stopping the Lord Jesus. You want to stop Christ? You want to have Christ do something for you? You know what's how to stop Him dead? You know, stop Him when He's here? You know how to do it? Do like Bartimaeus did. Have mercy on me, Jesus, O thou Son of David. And our Lord Jesus stopped and said, bring Him over here. That'll stop Him. He'll stop to hear you. Mary Magdalene, she fell at His feet And he said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And old Zacchaeus up that tree, called him down out of that tree, said, today I must abide at your house. Today salvation's coming to you. And beloved, there's such blessed hope. There's hope for, oh my, what hope do we have for our lost children? What hope do we have? What hope do I have, Mary and I have, what hope do we have for little Riley? What's she going to be when she's 16? What's she going to be when she's 18? What's she going to be when she's 21? Her daddy's 22. What's my hope for him? What's my hope for him? It's not you. It's not me. And I've got nothing to give them that's worth anything. They want money, they want this, they want that. But if I could give them Christ, if I had myself as an apostle, I'd say, look at me. And I would, if they was lame, they could walk. If they was blind, they could see. If they was deaf, they could hear. But only God can make them deaf, and only God can make them blind. Only God can make them lame. Only God can make them see what state they're in. And the hope is not, if it's my hope, then it has to be their hope. And my hope for them is Christ, that He Himself will do something for them. What other hope do we have? No wonder the old hymn writer said, and John Newton wrote this hymn, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears. And then He's a refuge for us. His name is a refuge. We run to it. Look in Isaiah 32. His name, and he read it tonight in Isaiah 25. Oh, what a refuge. What a refuge. In Isaiah 32, He's our refuge. The name of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. And how many times have you cried out? How many times in your lifetime, as you a believer, when I don't care how many other people you were around and what was going on, how many times in your lifetime have you cried out, oh Lord, and you've run and hid in Christ. You've run and hid in His name. You've run and hid when all things was going on around you. You've run to Him and hid in Him from troubles, from heartaches, from sorrows, from prayers, for wisdom to deal with the situation. When you hear somebody else is having troubles, the first thing you do is run to Christ and His name. And you hide there, and oh, we're safe there. And look what He said here in Isaiah 32. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and the princes shall rule in judgment. And a man, shall be as a hiding place from the wind. All the winds of change is going on in our country right now. Have been going on. The winds of change is going on in religion. In our political system, the winds of change has got our souls chilled to the very bone as we look at what's going on in our world. And He shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. And all, beloved, as rivers of water, when it's dry, 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 He'll give us water. Be like a river of water. And as the shadow of a great rock when you get real, real weary. Oh my. What a name. What a name. And I'll tell you something else. Not only salvation in His name, prayers answered for His sake. Hope. We have Him as our hope. He Himself is our hope. And He's a place for us to hide. But oh, we're promised His presence. We're promised His presence. Matthew 18. And how many times have we quoted this over the years? Matthew 18. You know what it says here? In verse 20. His name brings His presence. Our Lord Jesus says, for where two or three are gathered together in My name. In My name. Now, I gather with a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. Sometimes several of us get together and go fishing. Men get together and go hunting. Men get together, sometimes we have breakfast. We get together in a lot of different situations, a lot of different circumstances. But when we're gathered in His name, and we gather here tonight for one reason. And that's to, and everybody up here that prays says, bless the preacher to teach us and show us some things about Christ and His presence. He says, for where two or three are gathered together in My name, I'm going to be right in the middle of them. Be right there with them. You feel like He's here? I do. I don't know why, but I come here for Christ's sake tonight. I didn't come here because it's Lantana Grace Church. I come here for Christ's sake tonight. To hear about Him, to talk about Him. To hear you fellas sing about Him. To hear you pray about Him and use His name in prayer. And what is it together in His name? First thing we do when we gather in His name, every one of us gather as a sinner. We come here because we all have a need. Every one of us is here tonight. We come because we have a need to be here. We have a need of Christ. We have a need of His Word. We have a need of His Spirit. We have a need of His will. A need of His Word. We have a need. And then we come because we need mercy. We come in His name because in His name is mercy. We come in His name because we need righteousness. There ain't no place else for us to get any righteousness except from Him. And we come here, and those of us that come here tonight in His name, we come in faith because we come believing that He will promise and give what He promised to do, and He'll meet with us and speak to us and strengthen us and encourage us. Would you not agree with that? Oh, bless His name. We get His presence when we gather in His name. We get His presence. And I'll tell you something. I know this much. All true preaching is in the name and uses the name and magnifies and glorifies the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. All true preaching does that. All true preaching does that. That's what the Scriptures tells us, you know, that Paul determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, when He was walking with those disciples on the Emmaus Road, and the Scripture said, He said, oh, you fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets and the Psalms and Moses wrote concerning Him. And He beginning at Moses, He opened the Scriptures and made known through Moses, the Psalms and the prophets, all things concerning Himself. And when they got there and He turned around and walked away, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? And they knew who He was. He preached Himself. He took the Scriptures and opened their understandings concerning Himself. And that's what He does for us. He opens the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit does, and makes us see the things of Christ. And all true preaching is in His name. And that's why Simon Peter said, we have nothing. We ain't got nothing. But I'll tell you what we do have. We got a person. And that person's got power. That person's got glory. That person's got strength. That person's got salvation. And I tell you what, in His name, you get up. And that's what I tell sinners, in His name, get up and come to Him. Get up and come to Him. And there in Luke, and there in Acts chapter 4, this is what I should have, and maybe I'll preach on this later, but in Acts chapter 4, look what it said here. If I can get back over there to it. And oh my. And look what it says in chapter 4 and verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Now watch this. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. I read, tell anything, but don't use that fellow's name. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day. And oh, look what it goes on down there again, and now in verse 18. And they called them after they'd done beat them and all that. They called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered, said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. For we cannot bespeak the things which we have seen and heard. We can't tell what we've seen and heard. And I'll tell you, beloved, if Christ is in here, He's coming out there. And if He's not in here, something else is coming out. I do not believe, and Bruce Crabtree put an article in his bulletin last week, and where a woman in his congregation asked him, he witnessed to somebody, and he showed her from the Scriptures, the grace of God in Christ. And she said, is that so? I said, is that in there? I said, yeah. I said, go ask your preacher if it ain't so. So she went and asked her preacher. Said, is this so? She said, oh yes, it's so. Election is so. Grace is so. Salvation is so. The way you talk is so. But he said, I can't preach it. Because if I preach it, I'll get fired. I mean, you know, if people don't know it. You know why I can't preach it? Because he don't know it. If he knew it, he'd have to preach it. There's so many things in the Scriptures we have no option about. Our Lord said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom. There's no option in that. Except you repent, you'll perish. There's no option in that. Except you believe on Him, you'll die in your sins. There's no option in that. That Christ gives us no options. He said, it's either me or nothing. And that's what these fellows are telling him. Do what you got to do. You just go ahead and do what you got to do. But next time you see me preaching, you're going to hear me using the name of Jesus Christ and preaching His glory and His power. That's what I'm going to do. And that's what I say, all true preaching's in His name. And what did that one told Scott one time, and she was a legalist, if I remember right, she'd been there about 3 years, and given Scott a little trouble and aggravation, she come in one time and she tried to bring law in and all that, and she sat down in front of Scott one time after he'd done told her something, and she said, oh, I've been listening to you for 3 years and all you ever do is preach Christ and Him crucified. Ain't there nothing else? Scott said, would you put that on my tombstone? I tell you what, ain't that a lesson? That's a wonderful testimony. She thought that was awful. But what a testimony to a man's ministry. What a testimony to a man's ministry. That you can say from every message I heard him preach, he honored the Lord Jesus Christ. He glorified Christ and put man in his proper place, God in his place, Christ in his place, and salvation through him and him alone. Oh, my, all true preaching's in His name. And I tell you what, eternal security is in His name. Where else we don't have security at? Our Lord says, Father, I've manifested Thy name unto them that You've given Me. And guess what? They believed it and kept Your word. He said, Father, I've kept all of them that You gave Me. I've not lost a one of them. I lay down my life for them and I'll not give up one of them. You're talking about security. That's what I'm talking about. We run to the name of the Lord and we hide there. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, who else going to save us? Who else going to keep us? What other name can we say, Lord, forgive me, Lord, save me, Lord, help me, Lord, strengthen me? Oh, my Savior, come to me. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And He saves you. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. This idea that eternal security is that you make a profession. And how many times have I heard this said? And this is why it's so despicable, it's criminal. That people make a profession in a Baptist church and they think they're grace believers. And then they'll stay in the church 6 or 8 months or a year, and then they'll go back to the world. But there'll not be one of their preachers that'll tell them that they're lost. They'll say, you just backslid. You need to come back to Jesus. You need to come back to church. You need to come back to the altar. But I got news for you. If you can walk away from Jesus Christ, you will. If you can get out of Christ, you will. But this is what's so wonderful about it. You couldn't give yourself the birth, so you can't unbirth yourself. You didn't give yourself life, so you can't take it back. You didn't give yourself the new heart, and you can't take it out. I mean, this business of salvation of the Lord from Alpha to Omega. You know how long I'll be saved? As long as God is. Oh, what a blessed salvation we have. And I tell you, in this blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the only unity, and listen to me now, the only unity in this world is in His name and for His sake. The only true unity that we have in this world among ourselves, the way we are, is through His name. Huh? Look here in Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. You know, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Now here are all of us. I'll tell you some things that we could not be unified on. We could not be united over politics. We could not be united over money and how to spend it or how to take care of it. We could never be united on how to raise kids. We could never be united on how to run a home. But I'll tell you one thing all of us are united about here tonight. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all one there, ain't we? And you know what we do with all the rest of it? Absolutely don't mean nothing. It don't mean nothing. You do what you won't do at home. Just don't beat your wife. Don't let me find out about it if you do. But you know, we just leave all this other stuff. Don't mean nothing. That's our personal. When we gather here and we all together, we all have this with all of our personalities and with all of our quirks and with all of our faults and with all of our fickleness and all of our different viewpoints and different things and ideas and opinions. We put all that aside and we're all one in Christ. Huh? Ain't that so? That's why, you know, he says we are... Our fellowship was with the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And let me hurry up quick and give you this in Philippians 2. Let me show you this right quick in Philippians 2. 1 and 2. Oh, I tell you, ain't you grateful that we have this? And here's the thing about it. You go anywhere. You go anywhere. When I was out in Oregon, I tell you, I'm as at home there as I am here. That's the most mysterious thing. You just go and you just have this great union, this unity, and it's just the most wonderful thing at all. And hear what he says in Philippians 2, 1 and 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy. Now listen to it. If all these things are in Christ, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. I think we're all doing that tonight, don't you think? Uh-huh. And then let me hurry up and tell you this, and I'll be through. In our Lord Jesus Christ's name, we're only accepted in His name. We're accepted in the Beloved. Our worship is accepted for Christ's sake. We as living stones offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Huh? Hebrews 13:15, whatsoever you give it unto His name. We come unto God offering the fruit of our lips in His name. Our worship, our prayers, our sacrifices, everything is given. And the only thing we can do is make a spiritual sacrifice from our hearts in thanksgiving, in our hearts in prayer. And I'll tell you, let me show you this, and let me show you. Look in Revelation chapter 3, 2 with me. You'll love this. You'll enjoy this. I enjoyed it, thinking about it. Revelation 2 and verse 17. Because of Him, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get a new name. I don't have a clue what my name will be, but I'm going to get a new name. Look what He said here in Revelation 2:17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Go get a new name. We get to glory, we're going to have a new name. Look over here in Revelation 3 and verse 12. Because of Him, we're going to get a new name. Him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Oh, my. When I get to glory, I don't know how, we're going to have his name. Oh, what's he going to do for us? What do you reckon our name will be?